Oh, Praise the Lord. I'm breathing tonight, so I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to be able to lift our voices and praise unto a Savior, one that can save us and help us. I'm thankful tonight that we came here tonight with prayer on our hearts and praying that God will help us. You know, we got a lot of needs, but just immediate, I thank our servants, you know, here tonight, you know, just to pray that God will help us. We've gathered here together, so I'm thankful for that. But, you know, we want to realize that we're serving a Savior that can meet our needs and that's concerned about us. And so I'm just so glad that I get this opportunity to serve God and to be able to learn about Him and to change my thinking. You know, our thoughts are not like God's thoughts, so I have to somehow let God help me to change my thinking, the way I think, because I don't want to just go through life, you know, having it my way. We was at a funeral, and this man was talking about, what was it that said, have it his way. I did it my way, and he was Frank Sinatra. But anyway, this lady at this funeral we was at, she was kind of that way, and that's what kind of statement he made about her, that she did it her way. And, you know, we're not going to be able to, I want to be able to, you know, even get to heaven. You know, we want to fit in, don't we? I don't think if I really have it my way, I don't think I'll make heaven, tell you the truth about it. But I know I'm going to have to make some changes here. Not after I get to heaven, but I'm going to have to make my changes in this part of my life. You know, now is the time for me to make changes in my life and to submit myself to where God, some changes I can't even make. But the one that I can make, I want to be able to make those. And then the one that I can't make, then I want to be able to surrender to God enough to where He can change them, and I allow God to deal with me. And some of that I know it's like praying for patience. You know, somebody said, well, I don't want to pray for patience because I know I have to go through trials. Well, yes, that's true. And I know that I don't want to just say, God, you know, whatever it takes in my life for me to be. The things that we experience in life is what makes us who we are. That's who we are is because of the things that we experience. You know, I like to be able to just go from point A to point B and not have to experience all the things along the way, but that's not going to happen. I'm going to have to experience all of the things along the way. Some of them are going to be good for me, and some of them are going to be good. So I'll have to accept the ones that are good for me and realize that they are necessary as well as the ones that are good. So I'm just thankful tonight that we're serving a God that's going to help us to be able to make it, and I want to make it. I don't want to just live in this life, and I was reading in Ezekiel, and God was telling Ezekiel, you know, when he was talking to the children of Israel, he said, your words are like a song. You know, they like what you're saying. It's like a good song that you hear. You know, you hear the good song, but he said they're not going to do what you're saying. But they just take your words as though they're listening to a song. And I don't want to just hear God's word and consider it just a song. But I want to let it do something for my life. I want it to be able to help me and to be able to put these things to practice in my life. And I don't want to, like I said, go through the motion. I want to live and consider God in things that are happening, and consider, he said, in the day of adversity, consider. So I want to consider, you know, God in my life and see that He's working in other people's lives. I know He's not just working in my life, but He's working in your life. And I can recognize that. I appreciate our youth service last Sunday and the good words that we heard and encouragement I felt just from young people reaching out to God and good things. And that's what we're about. We're about each other. You know, our young people, our elderly, wherever you fit in that range, But that's what we are about. We want to help one another. We want to be people that can be a blessing as well as receive a blessing. And I'm part of you, and I know you're part of me. So I'm thankful tonight that we're here to worship God and lift him up. We do have a visitor here tonight, Raven Sanders. Good to have you here tonight. And, God bless you. And hope that you'll get something out of the service tonight. We kind of come with open hearts and open agenda. We don't really come with an agenda, a program to where we think this is what God want to do, but we come with even not, like I said, with an open heart, but we also come openly to God to let him bless us in his service, because we don't altogether know what God may have for us tonight. But we hoping that, you know, as we come, we're presenting ourselves to the Lord tonight, and we're hoping that God will give us what we need. We're hoping that he will fill the table with things that we need. You know, I don't want to say a surprise dinner or whatever, but sometimes you might not know what's on the table. And that's when God's at the table, then we don't all together know what's going to be served that night. So we have come with an open heart to whatever God put on the table. We want to try to partake and be thankful that this is the table that God spread. You know, if he spreads it, then we know it's going to be okay. And that's where our prayer, you know, to God is, God, you know, you spread the table tonight. Lord, you give us what we need. Because, we were praying earlier, and I like to see God's people blessed. But then again, I don't altogether know, you know, what, you know, how to go about that. As far as if I was in God's stead, if I was there to help this one and that one, sometimes things that we go through are ordered by God, and we don't, you know, if it was up to me, I might have wouldn't have done it that way. I might would have done it different. I know I can't bless, you know, we can't have blessings all the time. You know, we won't grow that way. We got to have some trials, and we got to go through some things that are difficult, that we don't even know what the outcome is going to be. But we still going to have to go through that. And somebody said, well, we're going to have to get through this, and God will help us. And that's the part, that's where we use faith in our life. We have to have faith in God to help us to be able to get through whatever the problem is or whatever the situation is. You know, we pray that God will help us to get through it, because we don't altogether know how it's going to turn out. You know, we know if we're putting our trust in God, it's going to come out all right, because we're trusting that God will help us through it. And I believe that tonight, if we begin to put our confidence and trust in God, that he'll help us through every situation. Sometimes it don't look too good. Sometimes you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But we want to trust God in every step of our way. So anyway, it's good to be in the house of God, and good to have an opportunity to serve him. And I don't know, Brother Smith, is he under the weather?
Amen, Sister Smith, both sick.
Both sick. Remember when he got back from, where was it, he went to the convention center?
Illinois.
He was, matter of fact, he was talking about some kind of bronchitis or something before he even left here, I think.
Yeah,
so anyway, let's pray for Brother Smith and Sister Smith and Grandma Smith. That I know she's back in Arkansas now, is that right?
She's back here.
All right, let's pray for all of them, and pray that God will touch them. And Sister Wilkins, I don't know, Sister Linda. All right, let's keep praying for her. Okay, excuse me. What about Sister Dodson? Pardon me? It's in God's hand. All right. All right, just keep praying for Sister Dot. That God will help her. All right, Brother Matt. All right, remember Sister Reba tonight. Pray for her back. Sister Elsa, yes. So say. How you feeling, Sister Elsie? Well, good. Wow. What's well, I know you want, you know, to know what happened to you, but sometime you may not be able to know that, but pray that God will. Yeah. Pray. We pray that God will help you, to touch you. All right. Anybody else? Any other requests? Sister Abraham. Your family. Sister Abraham's family, remember her. Good to have Joe Lacey here tonight. You see him? Somebody else.
Scott York.
Scott York. Hey, all right. Good to see him. Didn't see you, Brother Scott. Good to see you, brother. Yeah, we had good fellowship with Brother Scott and up in Republic back here. I don't know when was it. Back the first part of the year or early part of the year. He was out for breakfast one morning. Good fellowship. So anyway, pray for them that need. And any other requests? I guess just your grandfolk kids are going home, huh? They're home, okay. That's what I was thinking. Sister Elaine, the Bryants are not here. The Goldens either. Who is that? Brandon, okay. Okay, remember Sister Brian. All right, Sister Sandra. Need a job, all right. Sandra need a job. All right.
He's relocated down here.
Pardon me?
Scott's relocated down here.
Hey, all right. Oh, I thought she was saying she needs a job. You said he needs a job. All right, he can get it. Okay, Brother Scott, I believe you can get one. They say, you know, I hear people saying, you know, they're not in a job, but I hear other people say there's plenty of jobs, you know. Of course, you have to go out and look for them, though. Sister Ann. All right. Remember Brother McGowan tonight. Pray for him. All right. All right. Okay, any other requests? We need to just, you know, pray for God's people. Keep our young people. I was talking to Brother Caleb. We missed him over the weekend. But he's encouraged. I keep our young people encouraged. They encouraged me. I want them to know that. And I want them to stay encouraged. You know, I know sometimes it could be a little bit of a letdown when you have a meeting like we had. But I hope that's not the case. You know, I hope that they stay lifted up. And stay looking to the Lord, because he's our helper. He's our Savior. He can help us through every need. All right, let's I guess we're gonna do an offering, right?
Missionary
offering. So let's stand, and the ushers, I guess, do that. And we pray that God will help these needs. Remember all these that have been mentioned here tonight, that pray that God will touch each one of them, lift them up. Lord, we thank you for this night. Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, we pray that you help your people. Lord, help us that our hearts would reach out, oh God, with compassion, oh God, for the needs of your people. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. Jesus, 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 Lord, we pray that you have all power, Lord. Oh God, you can help every situation, every need, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus, we thank you. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Help your church. So we'll get Sister Dodds and each need. Brother Smith, Sister Smith, Grandma. Lord, we look to you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, help us tonight. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus.
Thank you for your mercy.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Precious Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for including me in the house that you're building today. Keep your hand on me and from my spirit set me free.
I'm glad to be here this evening with all of you. We have a lot of people out tonight, including our pastor and his wife. But I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for your faithfulness to come out on a Wednesday night when sometimes you just feel like going to bed. That's just part of serving God, isn't it? Learning to put Him first in everything and every area of your life. And I appreciate that about God, that He's just patient with us. I'm thankful that, of course, some of us have been serving God here for a long time, and like these songs that we were singing tonight, we're learning more about them all the time, aren't we? We start out when we first come to God. When I first came to God, I knew very little bit about him. In fact, most people, when they first come to God, all they know about God is that he is. That's all they know, that he is. They aren't sure what he is. Some people don't even know how many of them there are. But we're learning about God. And as he starts to reveal himself to us and his ways, he's merciful. He's long-suffering. Gives us plenty of opportunity. And aren't you glad for the mercy of God? I'm glad that he gives us time. Just like when he deals with us to come to him. Did you know if you're serving God today, if you feel anything toward God, if you have any kind of a relationship in your life toward God, it's because God reached out toward you. God did make a place down in the side of the hearts of men and women that would respond when God would touch that place in a person's heart. And Jesus said this. He looked at his apostles one time. He said, "You haven't chosen me." He said, "I've chosen you." And that's how you are tonight. If you're here and you have the love of God down in your heart, it's because God has chosen you. I often used to wonder, God, why would you choose me? There's a lot of people that have more than I in every area. You wouldn't have to go very far to find somebody that had more of anything in their life other than me. But God saw something in all of our lives, didn't he? He saw a desire, and he saw a willingness and a hunger after him, so that when he called our name, do you remember when God called your name? Do you remember where you were when you first felt that wonderful touch of God? Were you in church? You know, there's a lot of people that get touched by God and they start feeling that drawing toward him. And they're not even in church. I wasn't one of those. My mom forced me to go to church. I was still living at home. I was a young man. And she told me, she said, if you want to go out running around on Saturday night, you're going to church at least one time a week. And I thought, well, I don't want to go to church Wednesday night because I'm running around. Sunday night, I'm running around. I said, I'll go to church with you Sunday morning. I felt like that was the best time because it kind of interfered with my plans. I didn't want to serve God. I wasn't looking to serve God. I didn't even want to go to church. But I was still living at home, trying to be a little bit peaceable. I was brought up to respect your mom and your dad, so I was trying to show that respect. So I went to church two or three or four times. I'd always sit way back there in the back, right about where Brother Scotty is. And it was a small church, about half this size, and I wanted to sit as far away back as I could. Not saying that you're sitting back there because of that, but that's just giving you an idea that I wanted to get as far away from the preacher as I could. And then I'd sit there and I'd think, boy, this is going to be good tonight. You know, not so much what's happening here, but I started thinking what I was going to do with my friends. My mind wasn't even on church. You know, that's the wonderful thing about God. He knows how to get right down where you are. He knows, like it says in the book of Psalms, it says he knows our uprisings, and he knows everything there is about us. He knows more about our heart and our ways than we even do ourselves. In fact, there's a scripture that says, and how's that go? You might want to put it up. It says, the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And there's another scripture that talks about someone who set about to know their own heart. Well, I didn't even know what was down inside of me. I was just a young man, 16 years old, wanted to go out, wanted to have fun. I remember I came one morning, and I knew if I could just get through that service, then my friends were going to be waiting for me on the other side. Something happened. Did you know? And I thank God for this. It's like that scripture. It says, God so loved the world. And you know, there's times I've actually stopped and put my name there instead of the world. I know God loves the world, but I try to bring it down real close to me. I try to make it personal. And I said, God so loved Roy. that he gave his only begotten son, that if Roy would just believe on him, he might be saved and not perish. Well, I wasn't thinking along those lines that day, but God started drawing me, and all of a sudden, I wasn't even listening to the message, and all of a sudden, God started moving down inside of my heart. And that Sunday morning, I went down front and got saved. I've never regretted it. I've had hard times. Just because you're serving God doesn't mean you're not going to have difficult times in your life. It just means that God's going to go with you. He's going to go through those hard times. And it's like Jesus looked at, like I told you already, Jesus looked at his apostles. He said, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. And in another place, he said, no man cometh on to the Son except my Father draw him. It's that wonderful Spirit of God that keeps drawing us, keeps putting that desire down inside of us to know more about him, like these songs were saying. And when I started out serving God, I knew very little about him. Somebody told me, they said, one of these days the Lord's going to come back and he's going to get all of his people, and you better be ready. But they didn't tell me how to get ready, or when he was coming back, or how he was coming back. I used to walk around in fear all the time, because they said, if the Lord comes back, they said, you don't know that day, you don't know that hour. I found out later we can know. The Lord said he's going to come back as a thief in tonight, as a thief in the night, to those that aren't waiting for him. But we can, the Bible says, we can discern the times and the seasons. We may not know the day or the hour, but we can know that the season that the Lord is working in. And they told me, they said, oh, you better. I grew up in that Pentecostal era where they knew that you couldn't go to heaven with sin in your life. So they said, you better be careful, because if the Lord comes back and you got any sin in your life at all, that's just too bad for you. So I'd walk around. I knew I was saved. I knew the Lord forgiven me of my sins. I'd already had the Holy Ghost, already spoke in tongues. But I didn't know that there was a nature down inside of me. I wish somebody would have explained it to me when I was a young man. Say, like what we were talking about the other day, like Brother Smith was saying, the things that I would not do, those things I find myself doing. I used to beat myself up so bad. And then somebody told me, they said, well, that's not you doing that, that's the devil. So I'd start blaming it on the devil. Every time I'd do something wrong, I'd say, get thee behind me, devil. And I'd walk around saying, God, forgive me. That wasn't me, but that was the devil that made me do that. Y'all remember Flip Wilson? He used to say that, the devil made me do that. Well, they didn't tell me that my biggest enemy was right down inside of me, that until you can get your life totally turned over to God for a long enough period of time where God can establish his ways, his principles, and he can put his thoughts down inside of your mind and his ways down inside of your heart, until you can get those things established in your life, and to learn to walk in his ways. And that takes a long period of time. In fact, all of us here are still working on it. In fact, I found out it takes a lifetime for that journey. You're always growing. It's like Paul said. What an example Paul was in the Bible. Paul said in one place, he said, not as though I had already obtained. He said, but this one thing I do, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Well, they didn't use those scriptures for me. They didn't tell me that there was a prize at the end. They just said, you better be careful. When the Lord comes back, there's sin in your life. Watch out. And I knew I was doing things bad. Sister Crow, I wasn't like you when I was going to church. I got hooked into God, but then I couldn't get fully established. So I was always looking for, what do they call it, I didn't want to leave God. I didn't want to quit going to church, but I always wanted to see how far I could push that fence back, just how far I could push those things that they were telling me, what I could get away with. So I was always looking over my shoulder, looking for judgment to hit me. And because they didn't tell me about that carnal nature down inside that Brother Smith's been talking about, and some of these other brethren have been talking about. They didn't tell me that that thing down inside, it couldn't be converted. At first I tried to convert it. We found out it can't be converted. That old man down inside of you has to be done away with, has to perish. And that good Holy Ghost that you get when you speak in tongues. Yes, and we still believe that you got to be born again. There's a lot of churches today that believe that you're born again when you get your sins forgiven. But if you go over to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, it doesn't say that. The Bible clearly shows that you get the Holy Ghost not when you get your sins forgiven, but when you speak in that wonderful heavenly language that the Bible calls speaking in tongues. Because in the 8th chapter, let's just go over there real quick to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. There's a lot of people today that are looking for answers on how to serve God, but until you get the Holy Ghost, and it's a wonderful thing to get your sins forgiven. I remember when, even at the young age of 16, I was already headed down the wrong road. If God wouldn't have got a hold of me, Brother Daniels, there's no telling where I would have ended up at. Thank God he got a hold of me in time, but I had a hard time serving God until I fully got converted over to him, until I fully got sanctified. So we believe there's a process of serving God, that it takes more than just getting your sins forgiven, because what's going to keep you from committing those sins again? You know, God finally wants us to grow up to a place where we're walking like his son. Jesus did, because Paul said this, that we're to have that same mind that was in Christ Jesus, that we're to be converted, the Bible says, into the image of his dear son. Wouldn't you like to be like Jesus? I'd like to do those things. I'd like to have that testimony like Jesus did, that when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And he went about doing good, even to those that sought to do harm to him. But that takes a process. And the first step of that process is to realize that you need a Savior. For all have sinned. You can read in the book of Romans, it says all have sinned. I got some precious little granddaughters. I just had one just a week ago, last Tuesday. She's just a week and a day old. Cutest little thing. And we were down there. My wife, she just got back Monday. I know she hated to leave. But even little Emily Hope, one of these days, she's going to have to get saved. You know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, for there's none righteous, no, not one. Until you come to a place where you allow God to deal in your life, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior. That's the first step, is just to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Ask him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins. I was 16 years old when that happened, years and years ago, and I've never regretted that. That's the first step. But all that does, and what happens when you experience that, God takes all of your sins, and the Bible says he casts him into the sea of forgetfulness. He's not going to bring him back up to you again. And I thought that was wonderful. At 16, you'd think a 16-year-old wouldn't have much to be sorry over. But I remember when I went down to that altar, boy, I just cried and I boo-hooed, because all these things started coming up in my life, all these offenses that I had done toward people, and worst of all, toward God. And it felt so good to, I didn't even know I had a weight of sin on my life. But when God lifted all those sins off of my life, when I asked him, I said, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner and I need your help. And God forgave me those sins. It felt like somebody lifted a 100-pound weight off of me. Felt like I was walking about on cloud nine. But that's when I found out, oh, there's a nature down inside of us that is not hard to stir up. So I felt so good Sunday morning. But Monday, when I went back to school, I found out, this ain't going to be so easy to serve God as what I thought. Because the Bible says, the things that I would do, I really did want to serve God. The things that I would do, I don't do. And the things that I would not do, that I find myself doing. And Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I found that I was in that condition. I was really trying hard to serve God, because 40 some years ago when I got saved, I knew that you couldn't drink, you couldn't curse. As soon as you got saved, you couldn't. Nowadays, you got to tell people. When people come in And I think we ought to let people know what God expects out of a Christian life. I think there's a base that people need to know what God accepts and what God doesn't accept. You know, there's some things in the Bible that God hates. There's some characteristics. There's some sins that of course God hates all sins, but there's some things that God hates, and we ought to learn to hate those things that God hates. God loves people, but he hates some of that sin nature that's down inside of them. He wants to get that out of them. And we ought to learn to love the things that God loves. This is what it says about Jesus. Because he loved righteousness. The Lord wants us to get to a place where we love righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Doing the right thing. Not the right thing according to man, but the right thing according to God's will and God's purpose. That's why it's so important to read your Bible. It's important to find out, what does God expect out of my life? What does he want? How does he want me to change? But back when I first got saved, I knew that there was certain things you should do and certain things you shouldn't do. So I set about trying to do those things. I said, I can't do this, I can't do that, but I got to do this and I got to do that. And pretty soon all those things that I said, I can't do this and I can't do that, I ended up doing all those things. Got so frustrated. I thought, this ain't easy at all. But nobody told me at first about the Holy Ghost. And I was trying really, really hard, Sister Crow. But I'd stumble and I would fall. Am I the only one that ever went through that? I didn't know about sanctification. I didn't know about the Holy Ghost yet. I just knew that God had forgiven me of my past sins. But I didn't know what to do with the sins I was doing on a regular basis. And I started reading the Bible, and it says that there was commandments in there, especially when you start getting into the book of 1 John. It says, little children, I write unto you that you sin not. And I thought, wow, okay, I don't want to sin. But then he went on to say, if any man sin, he is of his father the devil. I thought, oh, God, I don't want my father to be the devil. What am I going to do? I was in a really strait. I just didn't know what to do. I was trying hard. I was reading scriptures that said, if you sin, your father's the devil, and judgment's going to come upon you. But then they started telling me that there's a nature down inside of you that the Bible calls it the old man. And in Romans it says this, the old man cannot receive the things of God. You can't train the old man. That's that nature that you were born with. The Bible calls it the old man. It calls it the carnal nature. The Bible teaches that Paul said this. He said, I die daily. I used to wonder what that was, because I thought, well, you can't mean physically dying. You can't die every day and come back to life. I asked somebody, what's that mean? And I said, that means that you have to die out to that old nature that you were born with. Just because you had your sins forgiven, that old nature's still there. But then somebody told me, they said, the only way to get rid of that old nature is to get a new nature to replace it. And I said, okay, how do I do that? What is this new nature? How do I get it? And they said, well, that's the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, I got the Holy Ghost. They said, no, you didn't. You got your sins forgiven. And that's a wonderful experience. And you can't even reach that place unless the Holy Ghost moves across you. It's like Jesus told his apostles before the day of Pentecost. He was talking to the Holy Ghost. He said, he is with you, the Holy Ghost, but he shall be in you. You can't even come to God to get your sins forgiven unless the Holy Ghost moves across your soul. And in conviction, your conscience, God starts dealing with your conscience, and conviction comes across you, and that's when you ask him to come into your life. You accept him as your Savior. You ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he does. And he's not going to hold those sins against you anymore, but that old nature's still there. And they said, what you got to do is, you got to ask the Lord to give you the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, how do I do that? And they said, well, you got to realize that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. And I said, okay, I didn't understand it. And I said, but if that's what I need, I want it. If that's what it's going to take to get rid of this carnal nature down inside of me, so I'll quit sinning and give it to me. Well, it took me several months to get it. I kept struggling with it. Some people get the Holy Ghost real easy. I've seen some people come up to the front, and they'll say, I'd like the Holy Ghost. You put your hand on them, and boy, they get it. And the Holy Ghost is simply God's Spirit. It's the same thing that convicted you of your sins, but God is so great. He's so powerful. His Spirit is able to be everywhere at one time, and you yield yourself over to God enough. You have to be converted. You have to ask God to come into your heart, and it's just like in the second chapter of the book of Acts, there was a group of men. They stood up and they said, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said this. He said, repent and be baptized. Well, what that means, to repent, means to quit doing the things that you're doing. Quit doing those things that got you in that poor condition that you're in. Turn around and do something different. And you know, when you come to God, He wants you to repent, not just to say, I'm sorry for sins, but He wants you to stop doing the things that you're doing, to put some effort into your salvation. And so He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. And if you haven't been baptized, if you've repented, if you've come down front and asked God to forgive you of your sins, you need to be baptized. That's a commandment of God to fulfill all righteousness, is what Jesus said. And He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a separate experience over repenting and being baptized. I've seen people get the Holy Ghost when they get baptized. I always thought that would have been wonderful, to go down in the water and come back up and speaking in tongues. And but mine wasn't like that. I'd come down front, and they told me, they said, you got to yield yourself. You got to yield your emotions over to God. You just got to yield yourself enough until the Spirit of God gets strong enough on you that it's going to manifest itself in an obvious way, to not only just to God, but to you, to know that you've got the Holy Ghost down inside of you. And I said, well, how do you do that? How do you know you get the Holy Ghost? And they said, you'll speak in tongues. And I said, what is that? What is this speaking in tongues? Well, you can read in the second chapter of the book of Acts that on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 gathered together in His name in the upper room. And it said there came the sound as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. It shook the house. It filled all the house where they were, and it said, cloven tongues as a fire set upon each one of their foreheads. Well, that didn't happen to me, but that happened to those people back there. But it says, and they all spake with other tongues. Well, thank God, I finally experienced that. I was finally able to yield myself enough to God that He was able to get the control of the most unruly member of my body, which is my tongue. Do you know, Jesus said this. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, you can hide things down inside, but pretty soon it's going to come out. Pretty soon it's going to manifest what you really think about something, how you really feel about something. I've told my wife, I said, if I ever get to the place where I can't control my tongue, would you just slap me? Help me to get control. You know, it's hard to get control of this thing right here. Have you ever met people that just had to tell you their opinion? They didn't care what it was, you know. You go up to, I've seen people, and they don't even realize they're doing it. I don't feel good today. I got an upset stomach. Well, I've got two upset stomachs. You know, if you got a broken arm, they've got two broken arms. They just got to be, that thing's got to be wagging. And you can read in the book of James about the tongue, how it's such a small member, but it sets on course the nature that's down inside of you. And it goes on to say that man has learned to control every beast. They've learned to control the ships in the sea, but they have a hard time controlling the tongue. And God knows that when you can yield yourself enough to Him, that you'll give Him control of the most unruly member in your body, which is your tongue, and you allow God to speak through you in other tongues. And that's a wonderful experience. And I'm going to read it here in the 8th chapter here real quick. But that happened to me, and it was a wonderful experience. And then I thought, okay, now that I've got the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to sin no more. Well, it wasn't just a couple days. I found myself doing those same things. The things that I would do, I did not. And those things that I didn't want to do, I found myself doing, but I found there's another experience, that sanctification, that God wants us to be a sanctified, holy people. You can have your sins forgiven, you can even have the Holy Ghost, but until God can develop the Holy Ghost down inside of you enough to cause it to fill up your life, which takes years sometimes to learn His principles, to walk in His ways, to understand what God wants, and then to fully yield over a long enough period of time that where the Holy Ghost has filled up all of your life, like it says in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. For He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Why? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, for the perfection of the saints, until we come to the fullness. You can reach this place, that's through the Holy Ghost, the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ Jesus. That means that you've grown up and become a mature Christian. When you've become a mature Christian, that means that you walk in the Spirit, that you're led of the Spirit, that not only do you know the Word of God, but you're led by the Word of God and by His Spirit. And you're just like Jesus. He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. When you first become a Christian, a lot of times you don't even know the right thing to do. We all have to learn. We all have to learn what God is expecting out of our life, and then to put strength in those areas that we learn to walk in His ways. But in the 8th chapter, let's read this real quick here. To give you a history, Saul, who later became Paul, was persecuting the church, and everyone but the 12 apostles were scattered throughout the Jewish world and even into the parts of the Gentile world. And that was God's plan. Let's see, starting the 4th verse, it says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip, who was one of the seven deacons that the apostles had put in to serve the people. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed." I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that. Just like Peter, when he'd walk, his shadow just falling upon people would heal him. "And there was great joy in that city." And then it goes on to say, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed," see, they believed. Philip came down preaching and they believed Philip. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." See, he was preaching that message, repent and be baptized. So here's people that not only had their sins forgiven, but they were also baptized. "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, whom when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost." You see what I'm saying? Right there, it's a separate experience. These people had already repented of their sins. They had believed Philip. They'd already been baptized in water. And here came some apostles came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. That's a separate experience over repentance and water baptism, the Holy Ghost. "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." Now, we got to go a little bit further, because you think, well, how do you know that they got the Holy Ghost? You got to go back to the 2nd chapter of the book Acts, where they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I know they did it here, because watch this. "And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Something happened when Peter laid his hands on those people and the Holy Ghost fell upon them and they started speaking in tongues. It must have been something wonderful because Simon wanted this same power. He was willing to pay money to get that same power so that when he had laid his hands on people, this same manifestation of the Holy Ghost would come upon them. Of course, Peter said, your money perish with you, you know. But it was something wonderful. Turn over to the second chapter of the book of Acts. And it says in the first verse, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Jesus had already told them, the Holy Ghost is with you, but he shall be in you. You can read John 14, 15, and 16, and 17. He said, Jesus told them, he said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He was talking about when he was coming back to visit them again. And it goes on a little bit further. It said, I and my Father will come and make our abode in you. That happened on the day of Pentecost. When you get the Holy Ghost, God and his Son Jesus make their dwelling place down inside of you. Up until then, you have your sins forgiven. You've asked the Lord to come into your life. But he doesn't do that until you get the Holy Ghost. And that's when God and his Son Jesus come and make their dwelling place or their abode down inside of you. And that's what happens here. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then it goes on to talk about the Jews that were there. But what a wonderful experience that they had. And I had that experience. When I got the Holy Ghost, I got a wonderful experience. I heard of a man, one time he pastored a church down in Abilene. He had such a great, I had a really good conversion experience where God forgave me of my sins. And I didn't think there could be anything better than that, getting your sins forgiven. And he was the same way. And he didn't feel like he needed anything else. You know, there's a lot of people today in the church world that don't feel like that they need anything other than their sins forgiven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you need the Holy Ghost, just like we saw in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. It's a separate experience other than baptism and conversion. This man felt like his experience was so great, he didn't need anything else. Well, God finally gave him the Holy Ghost, and for 3 days he couldn't speak in English. You've all heard those stories. We knew that man personally, and I remember him saying that testimony. In fact, he would try to speak in English. He couldn't do it. He'd have to carry around a little piece of paper and a pencil, and if he wanted something, he'd just have to write it down, because if he opened his mouth and tried to speak, he'd be speaking in tongues again. What a wonderful experience. But God wanted that man to know that you need this. This is something important that you need. Well, after I got that experience, I found out that it was going to take God a long time. There was just a little seed. See, when you first get the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that that is the earnest of your inheritance. Do you know when you go to buy a house, you have to, if you've ever bought a house, you got to put down earnest money. It may be $500, it may be $1,000, but you're telling the owner of that house, here's $500 because I am serious about purchasing your whole house. Well, you go through all the paperwork, and then for 30 years you pay for that thing. But you start out with earnest money, and then every month you make your mortgage payment of $1,000 or whatever it is, until finally one day you'll make that last mortgage payment and that house is yours. It's the same way with getting the Holy Ghost. When you first get the Holy Ghost, there's a God and Jesus, they come down inside of your heart, and that is God showing that I am going to help you, I'm going to change you, I'm going to convert you, and here's the earnest, I'm putting the Holy Ghost down inside. But then over the years, as you start to walk with him, just like a mortgage on a house, the longer you have it until finally the last mortgage is paid off, that's how the Holy Ghost starts out as a seed. The Bible, even in one place, calls it a seed. It starts to grow, and it starts to fill up our life until finally we start to, our nature starts to be changed. We start to think like Him. And if you've served God for any length of time, you're not the same person you were as when you first got saved. I'm not the same person as I was when I got saved 16 years ago. There's things that I don't do today that I used to do. There's things that used to tempt me when I was that age that don't even tempt me anymore. God's got those things out of my life. Now, there's still things in my life that God needs to get out, but I'm a different person. It's just like making your mortgage payments. I've been making mortgage payments all these years, spiritually, so to speak. But one day, the mortgage is going to be paid off. I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to grow up into His nature. I'm going to grow up into the fullness of just like Jesus Christ. And in the fifth chapter of Matthew, Jesus told His apostles, He said, "Therefore be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Had you ever read that scripture before? But you can't do that just by getting your sins forgiven, and you can't do that just by getting the Holy Ghost. It takes sanctification. It takes walking with God. It takes learning about Him. It takes going through experiences. It takes God causing that Holy Ghost to grow up inside of you until it fills up your whole nature. And you know the nice thing about it is, I used to think when I was ready to go to heaven that the Lord was just going to catch me away in a moment of a twinkling an eye, and then all that desire for sin was going to fall away. But then I started thinking, who am I going to be? How's God going to do that? I found out right down here, Brother Fisher, is where we're getting changed. We're having a brain transplant. Because Paul said, "Let that mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." He's taking all those things that was in His Son, and He's putting them in our mind, which is the principles, the doctrines. We're learning to love righteousness and to hate iniquity. And then He said that He would take His law or His nature and He would put it in our heart. We're getting a brain transplant and we're getting a heart transplant, Sister Crow. Thank God for that. But we're becoming more like Him. So I'm thankful for this salvation process, sanctification. And that's that third part. That's the thing that we need. And that means to be set apart for God, to be separate from the world. And that's a hard thing to do, to get the influence of the world out of your life, out of your family, so that it doesn't affect you anymore. But we're to be a sanctified, set apart people that for God's glory, for His use, that He might have fellowship with us. And that's a process, too, as we learn more about God and we find out what He requires out of our life. God gives us the power. He gives us the ability. He causes us to walk above those things until finally we're a new creation. It says old things are passed away. This is what it says about the old man, the carnal nature that we're born with. He says old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And that's our relationship. We finally grow to a place where we're the image of His Son. So I'm thankful tonight for God's salvation process and for what we're going through, that we're being changed into the image of His Son, that we're different people than what we used to be, that we have a greater hope than the world does, that we have a hope that God is being formed in us, because we know, like it says, there's 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number, He said, but my dove, my undefiled. There's two things right there, two qualifications. You're to be undefiled before God, and God can get you to a place through Him. He's the potter, we're the clay. He's the one that puts His hands on us, and He molds us and He shapes us. But we're to be undefiled, and we're to be a dove. And that means that we're to be full of the Holy Ghost, and the things of the world aren't to have influence on us anymore. And that's when my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the choice one of her mother, and that's the one the Lord's coming back for. He's coming back for a church without a spot, without a blemish, without a wrinkle, or any such thing. But we can only do that through the Holy Ghost. So I'm thankful tonight for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for the process that we're going through. And it's just good to have y'all here tonight. God bless y'all. Thank you for being so attentive.
Sister Raven, get out of here without shaking her hands. Invite her back. All right. right. God bless y'all. Shake hands and be friendly.